So I'm going to invite Bishop Steve up now to bring us the message, and we're going to just swap microphones. And I'm just going to pray for you, if that's okay, before we speak. Father, thank you for Stephen, and thank you that he could be here today on this special occasion of the dedication of his grandson. And we just ask now that you will bless him as he brings what you have put on his heart for us. And we ask that we will have open hearts and open ears and open eyes to see your kingdom coming and what you have to say to us today about it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning. I think I may need to be turned down slightly. That's good. Excellent. How are you? Very good. So am I. Thank you very much indeed. It's really lovely to be here, and wonderful to be here for Joshua's dedication and to celebrate with Alma Church. Anne and I have been, I think, twice before to worship with you. And it's really good to be here with our family and friends and to mark this very special occasion and to look forward to seeing Joshua grow up in the context of this church family. And really lovely that you're beginning as a church family a new series on prayers in the Bible, and really excellent that you're starting with the prayer that is above every prayer in the Bible or anywhere else for the Christian, because it's the prayer that Jesus taught us. The Lord's Prayer occurs in two different places in the New Testament, once in the Gospel of Matthew, in the Sermon on the Mount, and once in Luke's Gospel, where the disciples come to Jesus and ask him to teach them to pray, the passage we just had read. And when Jesus is asked by his disciples, how should we pray, he doesn't give them a course on prayer. He gives them a prayer to say. It's really short, and by the standards of the prayers of the day, it was extra short. You might remember in the Sermon on the Mount, when Jesus is teaching the disciples the Lord's Prayer, he actually teaches the Lord's Prayer just after he says, don't make your prayers long, make them short. So it's really short. It can be learned by heart, and it's the most powerful prayer I think that's ever been crafted and written. Many of us learn it when we're really small. I don't know if you can remember when you first learned the Lord's Prayer. I think I was taught it by my grandma, kneeling by my bed at night, a line at a time, when I was about 3 or 4 years old. And many of us here, the Lord's Prayer may well be the last prayer we ever pray at the end of our lives. I've prayed with people on their deathbeds and have used these same words that a child can learn and say, and that we can use right at the end of our lives. But one of the things about learning the Lord's Prayer when we're young and using it so often is that actually we forget what the words mean, and our understanding of it drops, and a prayer might come up in some prayers that we're praying or in church, and we will go through it, but we will not even think about the words that we're saying. And so over the last few years, I've found myself teaching the Lord's Prayer again to people, especially young people, because I think it has the most important lessons for how to live in today's world. So what I want to offer you in the talk this morning, is very simple. It's seven reasons why I say the Lord's Prayer every day and try and think about it. 7 reasons why I say the Lord's Prayer every day. I think Jesus means his disciples to pray this prayer daily. There's a middle.
Where you could only gather manna for one day or it went off. So this is a prayer that Jesus means us to say daily. And actually is a prayer that shapes us. It molds who we are as people as we say it day by day in a way that is really powerful, particularly in the present context in which we live. So these are 7 reasons why I say the prayer, or try to, every day and think about what it means. And you may not have used the Lord's Prayer for a long time. You may not have used it for years and years. You may not feel you understand what it means, or you may never have learnt it. You may not be able to remember all 7 things that I say. But try and remember 1 or 2 of them and think about what the words mean. So here's the first one. They all relate to a different line of the prayer. The reason I say this prayer and think about what it means is because every day it tells me who I am in the universe. It reminds me who I am and my place in the universe in just the first 7 words. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, is all you need to know your place in the universe. That reminds me every day that in all the vastness of creation, I am not a random collection of atoms. I was created in love, with a purpose, called into relationship with my Creator. A relationship in which my Creator can be described as my Father, who loves me personally, and a relationship with my Creator in which my Father in heaven is greater than I am, which puts me in my place and helps me find my place. A relationship which is best expressed in worship and love. Hallowed be your name is an expression of praise. And a relationship which is also a relationship with a community. Everything that we celebrated earlier about Joshua's thanksgiving and dedication, about being part of a family, is there in that first line of the Lord's Prayer. For Jesus teaches us not to call God my Father, but to call God our Father. And all of those relationships are set right just in that first line. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. The second line of the Lord's Prayer teaches me this. The second line of the Lord's Prayer teaches me how to live courageously in an imperfect world. How to live courageously in an imperfect world. One of the features of our world today is that people don't know how to understand it. And especially don't know how to understand all the bad stuff in the world. Which, because of 24/7 news, comes at us all the time. Depression and mental illness, particularly amongst under 30s, is growing exponentially at the moment, with disastrous consequences. One of the reasons is that people don't have a way of understanding why there is bad stuff in the world and a way of coming to terms with it, because it really is hard to understand. That second line of the Lord's Prayer has got that way of understanding it built in. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The world is not yet as God intends it to be. God's kingdom has not yet come in all its fullness. God's kingdom has begun in Jesus. God's kingdom will be restored fully one day. But we now live in that in-between time. And that gives me a way of understanding the world, so that when bad things happen in the news or events in the world or in my own life, I can see them in that perspective of God's time. And I can align myself with the world of God's kingdom, of justice and peace that God is bringing in. And so I can find a way to live with courage in this world which is deeply flawed and deeply imperfect, but being redeemed by God. I find courage to live in an imperfect world. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Then I think the most powerful and radical line of all in the Lord's Prayer for our contemporary world. Give us this day our daily bread. It's not a prayer for stuff. It's not the line in the Lord's Prayer on which you hang all your requests to God. It's actually a line in the Lord's Prayer which points backwards to you. And actually it's a prayer that God will help you to be content with just enough for today. With your daily bread. With just enough for the day. With just what you need. Why is that so powerful? Well, every day, from the moment you wake up and look at your phone or device or put on the radio or the television or walk down the street, to the moment you go to bed, you are being bombarded with advertising. And the sole purpose of that advertising is to create in you a discontent with what you have and who you are, and to keep you perpetually in a state of wanting something else, so that you will spend your money and buy it. Jesus teaches his disciples to pray a prayer every day, which basically says, help me be content with just enough, with just what I need for today, and not to long for more. Why is that so important? Because that is the only way to be happy and able to rejoice, which is what God intends for us, to be content with what we have. And not to perpetually be striving for what we do not have. We mortgage our happiness, persuaded by, for the most part, lies, that things will bring us greater joy. They won't. It's the relationships in life that bring us joy. And Jesus teaches us to seek contentment as a daily discipline. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. The fourth reason I love to pray this prayer each day and mean it is in the next line, forgive us our sins this one reminds me every day about my own imperfections and that I'm not a good or perfect person, that I have faults and failings and weaknesses, and actually living well is about learning to deal with them, not to pretend that they're not there, and accepting myself. And the key to that is knowing that each day it is possible to come to God and seek God's grace and be forgiven. And as it were, to keep my account with God short. And that is possible, of course, on a Christian understanding, because of the person who teaches me the prayer, Jesus, who gives his life on the cross so that our sins can be forgiven. But I think that Jesus, whom I follow, wants us to understand each day that we are imperfect people. Much of the world around us asks us to pretend to be perfect, not to admit our flaws or weaknesses in any way, but actually it is better and wiser in the work that we do, in the things that we're entrusted with in our families, to be able to admit when we get things wrong and that we are imperfect people. And the fifth line, of course, is the mirror image of that. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. That line of the Lord's Prayer reminds me that I also need to learn to live with the imperfections of others. And actually the way to live with them is to practice continual forgiveness, the daily letting go of the things that irritate us and bother us and make us troubled and which clog up so much of the space in our minds and hearts and souls, that we should just release them and let them go, which is actually at the heart of what it means to forgive. So many people and so many families, sadly, carry with them through their lives a weight of bitterness and feuding and division, which serves to spoil life, perhaps more effectively than anything else. And the call of Jesus to me as his disciple is not to hold on to those slights and difficulties and to hug them close to myself, where the only person they will damage is me, but actually to let them go and to forgive and to move on and to live with the imperfections of others as they have to live with mine. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Perhaps better translated, not so much temptation as a testing time of great trial, but deliver us from evil. I think that line of the Lord's Prayer is there to help me live a resilient life in a very difficult and demanding world. To help me live a resilient life in a very difficult and demanding world. One of the things Jesus teaches us through the prayer is that life is not always easy, and that the world is not an easy place to live. And even the good callings in life, the good callings to marriage and in family life and in work, can be challenging and difficult. And there are other things that strike us, illness and bereavement and hardship, which all find a place somewhere in the tapestry of our lives, which are, as it were, a time of trial and a bad thing which comes to us. Jesus never says in this prayer or anywhere else that his disciples are insulated from bad things which happen. So how do we live with them? Well, we either crumple in the face of them, or we find strength and resilience to overcome them. And the way of the Lord's Prayer is the way of strength and courage and resilience. It's actually to find that strength, even in the midst of difficulty, to seek God's grace and help, and to move forward in that. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, now and forever. Amen. You won't find those lines of the Lord's Prayer in the text of Matthew or Luke. They were added by the church at a very early stage as a way of rounding off the prayer and bringing it back to its beginning, the praise and worship of God. But they're part of the prayer for a very good reason, and they provide me with my seventh reason for saying the Lord's Prayer each day. And that's to remind myself of the end of the story and the purpose of it all as a Christian. The end of the story is the glory of God and God's kingdom coming in all its fullness, and life with God enduring even beyond death in fellowship and praise and worship forever with God. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. So I don't know how often you say the Lord's Prayer or how you pray it when you pray it. It's a prayer that can be prayed if you've not been part of the church for years. It's offered to you by Christ. Some people pray it who are like Nicodemus in the Bible, as secret disciples. Some people pray it as part of the church, as committed Christian lives. It's the best place to make a beginning, and it's the best place to make an end. I pray it to find my place in the universe every day. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. I pray it to find courage to live in an imperfect world. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. I pray it as the only path to contentment and joy. Give us this day our daily bread. I pray it as a way of living with my own imperfections. Forgive us our sins, and as a way of living with the imperfections of others, as we forgive those who sin against us. I pray it so I can live with resilience in a difficult world. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And I pray it so that every day I might know the end of the story. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Shall we take a moment to be quiet and pray this beautiful prayer together? Some of you may know a modern version, some of you may know the traditional version, some of you may say the Lord's Prayer in a different language. So I'm going to invite you to join in the prayer aloud, and to pray it in the way that is most familiar to you. As our Saviour taught us, so we pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever.